fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Stretch it out. Warm up for your day with some exercises for your brain. Hey, don't want to pull a cerebellum. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's 8:03. Brady and Walker coming up. Worst tweet of the day. And it's not really the worst. I think it's the best tweet, but it's a must listen. It's an hilarious study coming up.
It's an audio. Oh, so the tweet didn't provide audio.
No.
It's going to be you reading it.
No. Also, Randy Carlyle, he did have his season-ending address yesterday. What did we learn, if anything? It's Andrew Walker. It's Greg Brady. It's Brady and Walker. Follow us on Twitter at Brady and Walker. Give us your feedback. Also, the text line is 590-590. Starting tonight, Greg, it's round one of the NHL playoffs. And in all of sports, I would submit that the next 2 to 2.5 weeks, with 3 to 4 games a night, with long overtimes, with game sevens, with upsets, with one goaltender jumping out the window and another goaltender stealing the show, it's one of the best theaters in sports.
Yeah, and you really do have to put aside the travails and problems of your own team. It's a hard thing to do because more teams make it than not, but it's almost average. Even in baseball, to a lesser extent, football, you go, well, so what? I mean, there's 30 teams, but only 8 get to the ALDS NLDS.
You can have a successful season without making the playoffs. But look at, say, the Kansas City Royals last year.
Yeah, if you invigorate your fan base, you play what do we call it, meaningful games in September, which we're all hoping for here for the first time in 20-plus years. But it's harder to put it aside when you're in a – like if I said – sales staff at work and there's 20 guys and I say, so are you the best sales guy no, I'm about 10th. You'd be like, whoa, you got low standards. Like, it's not and that's why it was exciting last year for the Leafs to be in, but that should not be what you're shooting for. Your job is to get there and make noise, and yet only eight teams will be playing 2 weeks from now.
Get there and make noise, or get there consistently, right? Being a consistent playoff team, I think, is a real feather in the cap, because anywhere from 6 to 12 in either conference on any given year, especially in the West this year, it's tough, right? And there's some good teams that don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, we look at Montreal's run back in 2010. They pick it up again tonight. We've said it before, the only Canadian team, and it's the only time there's been one Canadian team in 31 years that a whole nation can get behind or cheer against or do whatever you want to do. Who cares? So what? But either way, I thought it was an embarrassing loss in the first round last year to Ottawa.
Maybe not
losing. You're a 2 seed, they're a 7. And it's how it went. It's they physically intimidated you, from the no real response to the Lars Eller hit to Carey Price isn't healthy enough, or is he, to play game 5. And even if he had been, I think fans were, I've never saw a more apathetic fan base than going into that game 5 against Ottawa. Habs fans were just like, it's over. That's it. We don't care.
I have a few questions for you. And the first one is, the one thing we know, there's going to be an upset. There's always an upset. If you go into Vegas right now and you say, give me the 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds in both conferences on a parlay, you're not going to win. Like, you're giving your money away. There's always an upset. What's the series for you that you think is prime for an upset?
But this is, well, I got to answer a question with a question. I hate doing that. I hate people who do it, so I hate myself. What is an upset, period? I don't think Chicago dumping St. Louis.
There's no upset in that series.
L.A. San Jose is not an upset.
They were separated by 11 points.
Okay.
I'll answer my own question. Minnesota's going to beat Colorado.
All right, that's an upset. No question it's an upset.
And I really think they are.
Columbus is an upset to beat Pittsburgh.
Yes, and Detroit's an upset to beat Boston.
So if we're of the mind that you've almost got 5 pick'ems, and the 3 we just mentioned, with the potential for Columbus, Minnesota, and the Red Wings to pull upsets. The other 5 are very much coin flips, but probably that's why we think they'll be the most entertaining series to watch.
A lot of people yesterday, in discussing some of these playoffs, had the Montreal Canadiens as a sleeper team. And I don't know if it's because they're the only Canadian team out there, or because there'll probably be more eyeballs on this series in the East than any other. But the more I thought about it, especially with no Ben Bishop for Tampa, I kind of started to believe it a little bit. What are your thoughts on the Habs as it relates to an extended run?
I think they could win this round. I wouldn't pick them to win this round. I'd pick Tampa. And that's on the proviso that Bishop does play in this series and play pretty soon, even though he's not going to be 100%. Many guys aren't. But Montreal gets slammed to the turf by Boston if they get out of this
round. Do they really, though?
Yeah.
Montreal plays Boston tougher than any team in the East. No, it's not an opinion. It's fact. Montreal has driven Boston crazy for years.
They got swept by Boston in the playoffs, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
They went to game seven.
That was a couple years later. Yeah. But they got swept in 2009. And weren't even on the radar. They got squashed
history.
Like a bug.
Yeah, but these teams, they're not even the same teams. I'm saying this year and last year, the Montreal Canadiens give the Bruins fits. And the toughest round is the first round.
That's right.
Every player will tell you that. So if Montreal gets past Tampa and Carey Price gets on a bit of a roll and is feeling good, because we all know what can happen when he's feeling good. I think Thomas Vanek is a story that's going to get some play. I think Danny Briere is a story that's going to get some play. We talk about David Clarkson here, how he needed a reset, right? If they made the playoffs and game one was a new life for David Clarkson, what about Briere?
I know.
Who has turned into the best playoff guy in the last decade in the NHL.
I'm finding that a lot. And I always said this about the Sabres teams that made runs. I thought the one guy out, forget Drury, forget Campbell, forget a couple of the other guys. The one guy they needed to re-sign and keep and make a career Saber, even though he'd already played with Phoenix before, that was Daniel Briere. They needed to somehow find the money at that point in time.
And he went to Philly and had great seasons.
Well, he was a little, and people said he won't be able to live up to his contract in Philly. People said the same thing about Briere that they did about Gomez and Drury when they left their particular team.
They did buy Briere out, but it wasn't. It wasn't a performance thing. I think they would redo the Briere contract if they had a chance.
Well, look, it's incredible to think about now. 30-point season in 2010 when they made, or 30-point playoff when they made it against the Chicago Blackhawks. But to answer your question, I think they are maybe winning a round. I don't see any opportunity for them to be in the semifinals. Do you?
I do. I think the East is wide open, and I think the Boston Bruins are head and shoulders the best team, and out of any team that could give them fits, it's the Montreal Canadiens. So, yeah, I do think the East is wide open for the Habs to make a run. But you got to get by Tampa first, and game one of that series goes tonight.
I think if someone's beaten Boston, it's the Rangers. And remember, Boston, tricky with Toronto. We all know the story. Then they won 10 of their next 12 games.
Yeah, that's so why
they coasted.
That's why
after
the first
that.
Round is the trickiest for everybody. 8-10, Brady and Walker. Maybe this is low-hanging fruit. But yesterday, Randy Carlyle did have his season-ending address. And this is what bothered me about this. Not bothered me, because we all know Randy Carlyle's done. But he was asked, basically, you know, why things went wrong. You know, can you put your finger on why it happened? And basically, this is what he said.
When we came back and played in Washington and Detroit, we seem to have lost our mojo as a team.
I've lost my mojo!
If you want an example of a guy that has no answers and hasn't figured out any answers in the last week since the season ended, this is it. When someone asks you, why did it go south, Randy? And he says, well, we lost our mojo. That's not why it happened. That's what happened. That's what we already know.
It's not something.
Losing your, what was it? What's a mojo? What are you talking about?
When did you get it? Where did you put it? How much was there from night in, night out? And I, you know, I hate to take things literally, but you and I do that sometimes. What makes us so mediocre. I looked up the word mojo, and the synonyms are sorcery, wizardry, magic.
So you lost
voodoo. So
you
Randy
lost
Carlos,
your sorcery?
Honestly, Randy Carlos says yesterday, well, we sort of lost the voodoo. Yeah. You'd be like, what are you talking about? What are you wearing, like, a cape? Do you have a pointy hat?
I mean, you talk about, forget mojo. How about developing a breakout? You know, maybe let's focus on that. It's like a post-game coach. You know, why on that 5-on-3 power play, why did you give up 3 2-on-1 shorthanded? Oh, you know, mojo mostly. Like, it drives me crazy.
Two things that were notable before we get to Worst Tweet, though. I thought he gave a logical explanation of Kadri's season. You know, instead of dumping on Kadri, and we all think there's some Carlyle-Kadri thing, maybe that's been a bit more self-created by people in the media. And
I thought he was on the money.
Because he said Kadri's 23 and he had 50 points. We've been saying that, and the two guys we always compare him to on this show, Braden Schenn and Vander Kane, he had better seasons than both those guys. And then weirdly he goes to the Jake Gardner thing, and he kind of implies Jake Gardner's comparing himself to players that he shouldn't be comparing himself to when we meet, and I'm going, well, now what's private and what's public? Jake Gardner's not telling you that in a private exit interview for you to go out and mention the next day in front of a microphone. Didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he was on point with Kadri, though, and anyone out there that says, you know, Kadri's a complete player and not getting a chance. Well, he's clearly not. He's clearly not yet. It's 8:13, Brady and Walker. Let's get to the worst tweet of the day.
Brady and Walker's worst tweet of the day.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing.
All right, this is a bit of an amendment to worst tweet because it's not the worst tweet of the day, quote unquote. I actually think it's the best tweet, but I needed to find an avenue to get this in. All right, so on Twitter, I retweeted it early this morning, and there was a study done for a men's magazine, and online, 200,000 men voted. Now, here is the question, Greg. Would you rather find $5 or have your local WNBA team win the championship? 84% of men polled say they'd rather find $5. That is fantastic.
Where's the line? Is it is the line $4? You go, no, I'm a big Tulsa Shock fan. I love the LA Sparks, but I like $2.
I just compare it to, okay, let's say Leaf fans, and you ask someone that's been suffering for 30 years, and you say, would you rather the Leafs win a Stanley Cup or you find $5,000? It would be split 50-50. That's how many people care about their team. 84% of men say they'd rather find $5 than have their local WNBA team win a title.
Dangerous territory to go down, though, because it gets us. It'll give us topics for the summer, like Toronto Rock title or we'll pay for your next oil change. Toronto Argonauts, Grey Cup, or we'll give you a $50 Applebee's gift card.
Do you want a Toronto Marley's Calder Cup or a 2-for-1 appetizer at Applebee's?
Look at the difference in this city. It's like, would you give up a testicle for the Leafs to win the Stanley Cup? I would. I don't need it as much as...
How many?
I've used it already.
How many of your children would you call to win a Stanley Cup? Not would you do one. How many would you to win a Leafs Stanley Cup? That's the difference in the conversation.
Well, and many, especially the Leaf fans that paint their face and wear the sweaters, it's like, would you give up sex for a year? You're not having sex anyway in the next year. So you don't have to worry. You can get both things. It works for both things. Jeremy Roenick, next NHL analyst for NBC Sports, will join us next. We'll try and explain this NBA scenario tonight again.
Yeah, if it comes down to it, should the Raptors lose on purpose? Is there something morally wrong with it?
Go Washington Generals on everybody.
This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sundin to the line. Still has it. Watson and Pickton will clear to center. And here's Roenick. The other two up to the body. Roenick with the puck. Roenick the shaker. He's gone. Jeremy Roenick sets the fire to the Eastern Conference Finals. Sun death magic for JR. And the Flyers move on.
NHL playoffs begin tonight. JR, he was one of the all-time playoff heroes. Never did get that Stanley Cup, but some big moments nonetheless. It's Brady and Walker, 8:24. Jeremy Rota coming up in just seconds. Coming up tonight, Raptors at Knicks, 8 p.m. on Sportsnet 1. It's going to be an interesting scenario prior to tip-off here. What do the Raptors need to do or not do in order to get that best seating, wherever that would be, for the first and second round of the playoffs? Yeah. We'll see.
Get an abacus set up.
Oh, so you'll need a calculator
find
and a sundial.
Protractor and a compass. Don't poke yourself with it. So, an amazing playoff performer. You'll see him on NBC Sports with games on the weekend. And if you've got the NHL Center Ice Package, they'll have games on. And we love him up here. Jeremy Roenick joins us on Brady and Walker this morning. JR, you know, you've been in these tight first-round battles all through your NHL career, no matter what team you were playing for. It always feels like really good teams are going to go out in the first round. And we know that's true. We got, say, Chicago, St. Louis, and San Jose, Los Angeles. But it's probably, maybe we're exaggerating. It's always the case you're going to lose two or three really good hockey teams in the first round.
Yeah, without question, they do. And this year, I think, it might be a little bit more extravagant this year because the parity is so good. I mean, there are literally, you know, probably 10 or 11 teams that you can sit here and say have a really good chance of winning a Stanley Cup. So, yes, there's going to be more than two quality teams going out in the first round, which it was, you know, I guess it's good and bad.
It's amazing to think that, two of Chicago, St. Louis, San Jose, and L.A. are going to be sent packing after the first round. Which one of these organizations to you would you be the most disappointed if they bowed out in the first round?
Well, for me, it'll be Chicago because they are the defending Stanley Cup champions. You always like to see a team continue to display their dominance like Chicago has. So I'm going to go with the two teams that I played for. I mean, San Jose, I think they're primed and ready for a long playoff run. Their goaltending has been a little suspect, but for the most part, they have probably the deepest team they've had in a long time. So I see them moving on. If San Jose does not move on, I'd be very surprised.
Don't you feel that this time of year, San Jose seems to be the team that everybody talks about the most, just because they've been so good for so long, and as you know, they've never really gotten over that hump. I tend to think here in Canada, we maybe throw a few too many stones at a pretty successful franchise, but you know the guys like, you know, Thornton and Marlowe, they want to win more than anybody. I mean, how do you see them stacking up this year, and how is it different?
Well, the pressure continues to mount with every year that passes and they don't reach the final. They spent a lot of money. I think Doug Wilson has been more than fair and more than loyal to their core players. And it's time that their core players find a way to get over the hump. When the big goal is needed, when the big play is needed, when the big save is needed, they have to find a way to do what's been expected of them. And yes, you're right. They are the one team that has expectations as high as anyone, with the exception of Pittsburgh. So, I know Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau don't want to be remembered as non-playoff performers or guys that never won the cup. You know, some of the best players that never won the cup. So they want it as much, if not more, than anybody.
Yeah, and I wonder about that because I think about your Chicago team that ran into Pittsburgh in 92, but you made the final. And I know it's not the same as winning. I know that. But, God, it's sort of like imagine playing your whole NFL career and you don't go to the Super Bowl as opposed to going and just falling short. Well, of course it hurts to lose there, but, God, you'd rather go than not go. So we're like that here in Toronto. I think there's Leaf fans that feel, oh, God, we got to win the Cup someday, and then it's just get me to the final, and I'll know what it feels like. Well, just do that.
Exactly. Well, I've had that conversation with Keith Tkachuk many times. Mm-hmm. You know, Keith Tkachuk, you know, arguably one of the best goal scorers that never even made it to the finals. And, you know, I never won the Cup. I've been to the finals but never won it. So we have to live with that kind of hanging over our heads, which, you know, when you talk about Hall of Fame and all that stuff comes into play. And, you know, that's kind of like the last hurrah for us athletes. But it's a measuring stick. It's a measuring stick of your career. I don't care who you are. It has a big part in it.
Jeremy Roenick's kind enough to join us. NBC coverage kicks off tonight, of course. Lots of games on CNBC as well and NBC Sports Network on the main network, obviously, on the weekends, and they'll have the final. You know Toronto really well. You've traveled here. You've worked here.
I love Toronto.
Yeah,
love
we know, Toronto. And Toronto loves you back. But we'd ask you this. You watched Brendan Shanahan yesterday. What were your observations of the pressure that's there? I mean, we are talking about it. To me, it's like becoming GM of the Lakers or the next guy that's going to take over for Bill Belichick in New England. There's massive pressure, and we saw it crack Brian Burke a little bit, who's a pretty tough guy to crack. And with Brendan Shanahan, do you think he knows everything that he's getting into here?
No, but I think he's willing to learn, and I think he's willing to take the beating in order to get there. You know, I think the job that he has now might be just as high pressure as the job that he had before, and laying out suspensions and fines and really taking a beating by owners, GMs, and players and fans. That's not a illustrious job that he had before. But first, you know, I got to say, I'm really disappointed that there's only one Canadian team in the playoffs. That really disappoints me because of the hockey and the love that's up there. And I think it's up to guys like Shanny to start upping the bar. a little bit and start making the players way more accountable for the way that they're playing on the ice, with ice time, with minor league stints, with more face-to-face in front meetings, and just harder practices. I think these teams can't continue to accept mediocrity, and with the Toronto Maple Leafs giving up an average of 36 shots a game defensively, and you have a guy like Deion Sanos who just signed a $7 million contract, that's just unacceptable in my opinion. And I think Brendan Shanahan really has to start laying the law down and making these guys that are making a lot of money and have a lot of expectations on them stop making excuses and stop talking about slumps and I can't, I'm fighting my confidence, and just get the job done, or don't put him on the ice.
Jeremy Roenick joins us on Brady and Walker. I think for a lot of people, the Chicago-St. Louis series holds the most intrigue in the first round. I mean, you go back to those, and you played in some of those Norris Division series. Not that the era was better, but man, what a rivalry that was. And it feels like it's been a long time since both teams have been on an upswing, right?
It's definitely, when you look at the two teams matched up next to each other, it to me, I get the chills, I get the goosebumps with excitement. Then again, yes, you are right. It is not the same, the same bullying, the same war-like atmosphere that we had back in the late 80s, early 90s, where, we had days like the St. Patrick's Day Massacre, which was one of the most fight-filled, roughest, disgusting games I've ever been a part of. You're not going to have that, but you're going to have, very tight checking, very hard hitting, just not a friendly rivalry or friendly series. So, and both teams have been awful towards the end of the season. So it's up to them to see who's able to turn it on at the right time.
I'm glad you said that. I want to bring that back to Phaneuf and just ask about your perception of him as a player. He's let's forget the paycheck for one sec. It's hard to. I know that, and we don't forget it sometimes here, but he's being asked on an inferior team. We're not 100% sure they're being coached the right way, and they're saying play 26 minutes and play PP1 and play PK1 and play tons of even strength minutes against the other team's best line. That's probably not who he is. They're trying to treat him here, in my estimation, JR, like Shea Weber. And of course he's not Shea Weber.
Because,
don't ask him to be Shea Weber.
Else.
Yes.
I mean, Franzen looks like he's skating in a sandbox every single night. He can't keep up with the league today. They get into trouble with their defensive liabilities up front. You have forwards that don't work hard enough to come back and help their defense and let them out to dry. And D'Antonis is a very, very good hockey player. He's a good defenseman. I wouldn't call him a great defenseman, but he's mean. He has the ability to control the power play and play well, especially in front of the net. I think his expectations of what he can do might be a little high, but he's a competitor like no other. I think he has that grind and that compete level that you want in a captain. But I think they need more to support him defensively, not only on the blue line, but up front. They have to make more of a commitment as a forward unit to play like Boston does, like LA does.
Yeah.
And they don't do that.
We have the NBC games. We have the NBC Sports Network games. It all looks great, and we're looking forward to your analysis. It's a long 8 weeks, but there's nobody we'd rather watch do it. Thanks for doing this morning for us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good stuff. So that's Jeremy Roenick.
On a Wednesday.
Some strong words on Cody Franzen and boy, the Leafs as a whole there. Still to come. We don't have time to do it now, but we'll do it in a few minutes in like 30 seconds or less, because tonight is a confusing night when it comes to the Raptors playoff seeding. They could finish third or fourth, but everybody else in this mix is still undecided. So they could still play Brooklyn. They could still play Charlotte. They could still play Washington in the first round.
I don't need 30 seconds. I can give you every five NBA East teams playoff possibilities in 25 seconds.
Okay, because I don't understand.
Five and 25,
I honestly, I don't understand. So we'll get you to understand, to explain it when we come back.
All right, I'll do that.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
8:42 on your Wednesday. It's Brady and Walker. We like to think we're not, we don't talk down to anybody on this show. Like, if you're listening, we don't think we're smart.
Speak for yourself.
We don't think we're smarter than you. And this is evidence, because tonight is the last night, Greg, of the Raptors regular season.
And the NBA. All 30 teams in the NBA play tonight.
Yeah. On what I kind of like the theater of it. So Charlotte plays, Washington plays, Brooklyn plays, Chicago plays, and the Raptors play. Raptors are locked into the 3-4 seed, but they could play almost anybody in the first round.
Yeah.
And I don't even pretend to understand what has to happen for them to get the matchup they want. So please describe this for me.
Max, can you give a clock? I know we started with a Jeopardy thing. I'm throwing a curveball at you. Give me a clock.
If you can do it aptly in 30 seconds,
I'll
be surprised.
I'll do it in 25. All right.
All right, so tell me what the playoff scenarios are for the Raptors.
The Raptors could be, they'll be number 3 if they win or the Bulls lose. They'll be number 4 if they lose and the Bulls win. Chicago's the same, except, no, they're not the same, because they have, Brooklyn will be number 5 if the Knicks, that's not 25 seconds, there's no way that was 25, I haven't even gotten to the Wizards. Brooklyn's number 5 if they win, they fall to number 6 if the Nets lose tonight and the Wizards win their game. Washington goes up to number 5. Now, Washington can drop to number 7 if they lose and the Charlotte Bobcats win. Could the Bobcats win? I don't know. If the Bobcats win and the Wizards lose, they're number 6. If they lose or the Wizards win, they're number 7. Do you want me to do the Oklahoma City Clippers one? No, you don't, do you?
Just do that one more time, though, so we all... No, I'm just kidding. So I don't understand, but...
No more clocks.
But the great dilemma is, like we said, here's the only dilemma Dwayne Casey and the team have tonight. If Chicago wins, the Raptors need to win to keep the 3. If they see that Brooklyn is losing and falling to the 6, your path to the Eastern Conference Finals is either Washington plus Indiana. If you lose, it's Washington, Indiana. If you win your game, you get the Nets and then the Heat. So don't win the game.
There's no question. Okay, so let's say Dwayne Casey decides that we do not want to win. What do you do?
How do you not win? A lot of mid-court shots and then don't rebound them.
You're not shooting from half. Like, what if you put in DeColo and, you know, John Salmons and who's the guy that never plays?
What guy's out of position?
Yeah, Chuck Hayes is going to play.
Steve Novak's jerking up threes from him all over
the map. Yeah, but Steve Novak had 40 threes.
Yeah. It's like trying to lose to the Globetrotters.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
Terry Doyle is our friend from LoosePucks.com. Covers the Ontario Hockey League. He'll be covering the Memorial Cup. Oh, he'll be front and center in the Forest City in a month from now. And he joins us on Brady and Walker. So you're watching last night. Does it make any difference to you, Terry, Florida or Buffalo? Would you take the same guy number 1? Or do you think those two teams have different needs between, say, Ekblad and Reinhardt or Ekblad and Bennett? What do you think Florida does?
I think from a standpoint, no matter who it is, I think Aaron Ekblad's still head and shoulders above everybody when you look at this draft. And I think anytime you can get a big defenseman like that, I don't think it really matters your overall situation. I think if you can have somebody like that walk into your organization and be ready to go pretty much Labor Day weekend or after to come into camp and jump right into the fold, I think Aaron Ekblad's your guy realistically, no matter who's going to take the number 1 overall pick.
So when we're looking at the Leafs at number 8, Terry, that's kind of right when, if one guy slips in that first, 5-6 guys, if it's Dreisaitl or something, if you're at 7, 8, 9, you kind of get the first chance to scoop them up. What do you think the Leafs are trying to identify and who could be in that mix?
Well, I think you look at a couple, from an OHL standpoint, pretty talented offensive guys, and a Brendan Perlini out of Niagara, even Jared McCann from the Sioux could potentially be in that area, and a guy who's really moved up the rankings, especially with his performance in the playoffs, is Nick Ritchie out of Peterborough, who some are throwing into that low top 10 area, and there's a guy who's a third-year junior right now, 38 goals this year, and a guy who has got that physical element to him as well, where he can chip in as offensively, but there's a little bit of that little bit of crazy to him as well, and a good crazy from the standpoint that physical play and want to maybe run a guy through the boards as well, and sort of that old time classic player a little bit, and that's someone who I think Leaf fans would really enjoy seeing in the lineup. But it's going to be one where maybe is that a little bit too high a pick for him. So I think a couple of those guys are sort of the names that are out there right now in terms of who could really be very interesting for the Leafs come their pick. Richie before was not rated to be in that area, but certainly some have slid him up, especially helping Peterborough into the second round of the playoffs.
I almost wonder, Terry, if you ran a poll right now of Leaf fans, most would say, we need a defenseman. Maybe you just go best player available, but let's say they do identify a defenseman at number 8. Are there enough blue liners in this draft where that becomes a value pick?
I don't think so. Hayden Fleury, realistically, out of Red Deer, is the only player who you could probably see potentially in that area to be that solid, that solid pick from that standpoint. Realistically, the way this draft is looking at this point in time, it's very forward heavy versus some years where we've had those defensemen in that area, and someone in that top 10 would be a perfect spot. So I think right now forwards seem to be the players that are going to be in those spots. Hayden Fleury to Red Deer, people have him around that 8-9 spot potentially as well as a defenseman, but is he sort of Morgan Riley a little bit as well? And I think other than that, it seems to be a forward's going to be the top value when the Leafs have that pick right now.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, Terry Doyle, loosepucks.com, because, we had a real run on defensemen, say, the second through fifth in that famous Drew Doughty down to Luke Shen draft with Petrangelo and Bogosian in the middle. But you're right. It looks like 8 of the first 9 picks might be forwards. And there's a big drop-off after Ekblad, Terry, but you noted it. There's a big drop-off after Fleury, who looks like a consensus second-best defenseman in this draft.
And that's exactly it. Once you get past him, one of the wild cards, Anthony DeAngelo out of Sarnia, there's some that have had him in the 12 to 14 area. There's some that have had him in the 34 area. He's a player that's had some off-ice issues this season, and very offensive defenseman, but defensively have been some question marks, and I'm sure a lot of the teams are going to want to sit down with him and just pick his brain during the combine and have that discussion. So a real wild card defenseman, and a bit undersized as well, so he could be a player. And I think a few of these defensemen, once you get past Ekblad and Fleury, could be jumping all over the place depending on just what the teams want and where they see them in their list. Julius Honka out of Swift Current's another one, sort of that middle of the first round area possibly, but as we see, it's not one of those drafts where, and you talked about the one in 08, where pretty much the top 10 for the most part was slotted well before the draft, from Stamkos through to Doughty and Bogosian, etc. And I think this year we're going to see, after that first handful, and especially when you get into double digits, that's where players are really going to be bounced around.
So real quick before we let you go, the Islanders pick at 5. Now, with this year's draft class compared to next year's, we don't know everything about next year's yet. If you are the Islanders, do you take this opportunity to draft 5th overall, or do you give that pick to the Buffalo Sabres?
Well, I guess if you're the Islanders, you think you're ever going to get better. And, the way that Islanders team has been moving along, you would hope at some point they would get better, that pick would be not a 5th overall pick. It would be somewhere, but then it's the Islanders, and that's the only thing there, and next year's looking a little bit deeper, so I think that's a really tough call. I think it's really hard to give up the 5th overall pick one way or the other, no matter in a draft where, you could have a Michael Del Cole or a Draisaitl in that area, and I think you've got to be confident enough in your organization that next year they can be better than not have a 5th overall pick to them, but there is that extra little wild card that it's the Islanders.
It is the Islanders. They should put that on the tickets. It is the Islanders, 2014-15. Terry, you can follow Terry Loosepucks, at Loosepucks on Twitter, loosepucks.com. And I know we'll be talking before Memorial Cup. We still have East Final, West Final left in the OHL. Thanks for this morning.
Anytime, guys.
There's Terry Doyle joining us. You guys both hit the point. The point's obvious. If the Islanders had won the lottery, it's a no-brainer. You keep it.
Of course.
If you're 11th, you give it to the Sabres, but they're kind of in that no-man's land as to what to do here based on where they think they'll be next year. Are they trying to be a playoff team? And also, are they going to tweak the lottery? That was discussed last night, that they're going to make it a little more like the NBA. Everybody's got a chance to get the number one, but you also would have a chance to move up, say, from 9th to 6th or something like that. They don't want teams at all with the perception like the 84 Penguins, where you're losing on purpose to get the star.
It's really, really tricky. And I honestly don't know what I would do if I'm the Islanders. I think I keep the pick. And even then, you get an extra year, right? This player will be ready a year sooner than your draft pick would next year. I think you keep it.
By the way, the Leafs have never drafted a European player as high as 8. They took Nick Antropov at 10. They took Jiří Tolusti at 13. And they're at 8. And it just looks like Europeans all around them, whether they're playing in the CHL or whether they're in Sweden right now, like the Nylander kid.
The Nylander kid. I think 8 would be a stretch for Nylander. I think he's going to go before that.
Yeah, but Jake Vertanen's a guy playing with the Calgary Hitmen.
Got some edge to him, yeah.
Jeff Blair's in. It's the Jeff Blair Show, 9 to 11, Baseball Central, off a Jays victory in the very cold circumstances of Target Field last night in Minnesota.
Balaclava weather. See?
Well, like Andrew said, it was a bad night for everyone to wear 42 to honor the great Jackie Robinson because you couldn't tell who anybody was.
I didn't know who's playing center field.
It's actually very true. The thought did go through my head as I watched these guys running around with balaclavas.
And we talked with Morosi, and I'm sure you've been through this with scheduling. Minnesota might say, hey, look, we don't want to play that many April home games. Detroit might say that. Boston might say that. But nobody wants to play 12 of 18 at home in April when people are still in school and you're not really in, your casual fan isn't in real baseball mode yet.
No, I think, you know, the thing baseball tries to do is just, you know, use the computer and make sure that everybody gets some sort of break in it. The only thing I say about that, to me, it's always been a lunacy that you don't have your April games played as often as possible in either warm weather places or indoor stadiums. I mean, there's got to be a way to do it.
I guess they're even daytime. To some extent, it's warmer for people to come out.
And you know, it's not like most major league teams are playing in multi-sport facilities anymore. They own the stadium, so they can set the schedule. It should be doable.
All right, Danny Potvin, Hall of Famer, guy who knows about winning in the spring, will join Jeff Big Playoff Preview Edition. 3 games tonight. We'll review those and have the NBA schedule fresh off the presses tomorrow morning for you on Brady and Walker, who the Raptors play and when they play. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
What that win. Today is Toronto Blue Jays game day on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.